Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate.
Welcome to Gay Mass. Thanks for joining me. It is your host. I'm calling you to say Happy Sunday. I'm saying Happy Sunday to all of you out there who are listening to Gay Mass tonight. Gay Mass is a show just for those not interested in really going to church on Sunday, or probably out and about tonight yourself, late out at the bars or coming in just now, or just hanging out with your partner, your husband, or your girlfriend, or your lover, or your friends, or your family, or whatever, and just wanted to have something to listen to late on a Sunday. Well, here you go. I'm going to play music. We're going to talk about the latest topics in the gay and lesbian community, as well as general topics, as well as news in general. So if you have something to say, something you want to talk about, or a confession to make, just like you're going to confession in church, give me a call. The number is 323-843-6160, and I'll be right back after this.
one is for the boys with the booming system. Top town AC with the cooling system. When he come up in the club, he be blazing up. Got stacks on deck like he's saving up. And he ill, he real, he might got a deal. He pop bottles and he got the right kind of bill. He cold, he dope, he might sell coke. He always in the air, but he never fly coach. She a motherfucking drip, drip, tell her all the trip, trip. When he make a drip, drip, kiss him on a lip, lip. That's the kind of dude I was looking for. And yes, you'll get slapped if you're looking ho. I said, excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. I mean, my, you're like pelican fly. I mean, you're so shy, and I'm loving your tie. You're like slicker than the guy with the thing on his eye, oh. Yes, I did, yes, I did. Somebody please tell him who the F I is. I am Nicki Minaj, I'm that some dudes up. That coupe truck and truck
you
up. Entrepreneur niggas in the mall goes. He can ball with the cool, he can sow loud. But I think I like him better when he dow loud. And I think I like him better with the fitted cap on. He ain't even gotta try to put the Mac on. He just gotta give me that look. When he give me that look, then the penny's coming out. Excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. You know I really got a thing for American guys. I mean, die, thickening eyes. I can tell that you're in touch with your feminine side. Yes, I did, yes, I did. Somebody please tell him who the F I is. I am Nicki Minaj, I'm Mac and Doja. That coops up and chucks the juice up.
Once again, the number is 323-843-6160. Remember to also check out the Off Limits Show website at offlimitsshow.com. Also on Twitter as Off Limits Show and also on Facebook at Off Limits Radio. So feel free to check us out and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and we will follow you back. So thank you for listening tonight. Some of the latest news in the gay community. In France, they just passed the French Parliament just passed the first step towards approving same-sex marriage in that country, which it's kind of hard to believe that of all the countries in the world that didn't have same-sex marriage, that France would be one of them, considering how pretty much free thinking they are about sex in general. But of course, it is a generally Catholic country, or it's been primarily a Catholic country for a very long time. So that's why. Catholicism, of course, you know, rules there, like Christianity in general rules here, or the Southern Baptist people do here. So it is not all that much of a surprise. It's been, you know, such a long trek, but it is somewhat surprising because the French are supposed to be so open-minded about sex. I guess they're only open-minded about sex between heterosexuals in general. The other thing that's interesting is that, you know, and this is the difference between America, the American government, and the European countries. And the way people in America, and Americans in general, think about sexuality and how Europeans do, because, you know, Europeans, European countries evolved over time and became what they became, but they've been around for thousands of years. You know, we, the United States, have been here for a very short period of time as a country as a whole, and we were founded on Puritans, generally speaking. And so because of that, we have this puritanical outlook on sex, unlike Europe, which is far more advanced generally. But what I was going to say is that the law or the article or whatever in their bill passed by a very, you know, overwhelming majority, by 249-4 and only 97 against. Now, if you had that same bill here, it'd probably be one or two votes that decided the vote one way or the other, probably almost all, you know, on the negative side and only a few votes on the positive side. So it just goes to show you how different people think, even though there's bigotry and prejudice everywhere in the world, you know, even in Europe and France. There is far more, it seems, here, and far more, you know, kind of retro thinking about sex and sort of outdated, outmoded ways of thinking about sex. And generally, you know, sex is just sex. I mean, people make sex out to be something incredibly, I don't know, taboo. Even if it's between two consenting adults, people act as if sex is something that you're not supposed to talk about, or that it's something that is off limits to discuss. When in reality, sex really is something everybody does, or most people do, and except maybe nuns or people who are, you know, sexually stunted or something like that, or have had sexual traumas in their life. Most people have sex, whether it's with themselves or with someone else. And so to act as if sex is something that shouldn't be discussed, I think, is really just stupid. It is essentially part of all of us and something we all, you know, we should be celebrating, not something we should act as if is completely off limits to discuss. But, you know, like in the churches, and, you know, most of it has to do with religion, especially here in the United States. You know, when it comes to sex at all, it's just like something you don't discuss at all unless you are in a certain kind of company. You know, people talking about prostitution, people talking about the dark side of sex, people talking about the positive side of sex. Either way, people just think it's not polite to talk about it. I disagree. I think sex is, as I said, something everybody does, everybody has it, everybody understands it, everybody knows what it's about and why we do it. So why is it so taboo? But anyway, that's just, it's good news that at least in France, they are passing that law. Hopefully. I mean, it's the first step towards the law. It's not the full, you know, kick and boodle, but it's on its way. So it's far more advanced than we are here. Of course, here in the United States, we are on the verge of having, you know, the Supreme Court decide on the legalities of DOMA, and as well as other things. So, you know, hopefully soon in the United States, we should know something from the Supreme Court within the next probably 2 or 3 months. A decision on those laws, and I'll discuss that in another show. By the way, I was going to have a show all about gay marriage a couple days ago, but Blog Talk Radio, which is the format I use to actually broadcast my shows, changed their format. They had some growing pains or some, you know, some issues with their delivery system. So now, fortunately, I'm going to do that show on Monday, tomorrow technically. And when I have that show, you can listen in. I'm probably going to have it at 10 o'clock or on Monday tomorrow, p.m. Central Time. So be sure you listen to that show. It's a gay marriage show. And that'll be a good show because that typically has a lot of people have a very big opinion on it one way or the other. So hopefully we'll have something for you on that tomorrow. Also, tomorrow is Super Bowl day. So it's interesting. Some people are saying that the day after the Super Bowl should be considered a holiday. And there's actually a petition that has almost 100,000 signers stating that the day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday so that people don't have to go to work the next day because they're hungover from drinking or eating too much or whatever, and people don't really want to go to work. And there's a study that said that people who do go to work the next day after the Super Bowl are very unproductive. And there's like a 66% less productiveness or something the day after the Super Bowl than any other day of work. So what's the point? People go, they drink too much, they eat too much, they have fun with their friends. The next day they're hungover and bloated, and the last thing they can do is think about work, and they're probably falling asleep at their desk anyway. So why not make it a national holiday? I think it's a perfectly good idea. Now, I personally am not a huge Super Bowl person. I just like the parties and going to the parties and, you know, the food and hanging out with friends and rooting for something, and that's fun. It's fun, you know, to do that, but that's the only time I ever watch football. The only time I ever watch football ever is when it is the Super Bowl and when it is someone that I actually like, you know, the Cowboys. If the Cowboys are playing the Super Bowl, I will be watching the Super Bowl, absolutely. And I am going to root tomorrow for the 49ers. They're going against the Ravens. I don't know anything about the Ravens. I don't know anything about Baltimore, Maryland. But I love San Francisco. And therefore, I'm going to root for the 49ers because I love San Francisco. So hopefully they will win tomorrow. They are probably going to win anyway. Apparently, they're pretty much predicted to win. Of course, you never know with the Super Bowl what's going to happen, but we will see. So that's something about that. But also they're doing, you know, what's funny is the ads they have for the Super Bowl. You know, every year it's always a big deal. It's about the, for me, it's about the food and the friends you hang out with and stuff. And then also about the halftime show and the advertisements. That's why I like to watch the Super Bowl television. For me, it's fun. Because the ads are like always, you know, really cool. That's the best ads ever. They're spending like millions of dollars, like 4 to 5 to 10 million, depending on the time slot or how long it is or whatever, for each advertisement, 30 seconds or whatever. So they're typically really good ads and they're usually pretty funny. So I would like to watch the advertisements. But also, more importantly for me, is the halftime show. And last year they had my girl, Madonna, on there, and she was awesome. She blew. I mean, I didn't expect her to be anything less than awesome, but she was fucking awesome. And she did the halftime show like she had been doing it all her life. Oh my God, she has been doing it all of her life. And it showed. I mean, she just fucking blew it out of the park. And so Beyonce has a lot to live up to. I mean, last year we had Madonna do Vogue, Music, Give Me All Your Lovin', Like a Prayer. And she had people like Nicki Minaj with her and LMFAO, CeeLo Green were there, MIA was there. So we had all these, it was a huge, it's a huge show to follow. If you're going to try to top Madonna, I mean, good luck with that. Beyonce would probably be good, but I don't see her being as good as Madonna. Madonna is Madonna after all, but we'll see. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt until something happens. So hopefully it'll be entertaining, and hopefully she will actually sing live. I mean, the whole thing about Beyonce singing at all, it was ludicrous to me. I mean, whether she sang live or she sang to a track or she lip-synced completely at the inauguration, who the fuck cares? Why does it fucking matter? I mean, personally, I think it would be nice for her to have sung at the inauguration live, because I think it is somewhat of a important event, and it's kind of respectful to show that, you know, to show respect to do that. But I don't think, you know, the fact that she didn't completely sing live, that she sang to a track that she pre-recorded partially, is necessarily disrespectful either. I just think that, you know, she, for whatever reason, and I haven't really read that much about it, I just heard about it, you know, cursorily or whatever about it, that she sang to a track, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. To me, it's all performance or whatever anyway. So it's still her singing the song. It's not like she's singing to someone else's voice. And everybody knows that Beyonce can sing. And then yesterday or Friday, she actually sang the entire song live at the Super Bowl pre-event or something. And she sang it live, and she sang it great, and she sang it just as well as she did on the track. So that's why I don't really see the difference or the point. I mean, or why people made such a brouhaha about it, because she can't. Everybody knows that Beyonce can sing, okay? So it's not like she can't sing, and we all know she can't sing. It's not like she's Ashley Simpson or something, and we know she can't really fucking sing, and so she just sings to her track all the time, but she's pre-recorded in a studio. No, this is Beyonce, whom we all know can sing like a bitch. So, and, you know, she's not like, I don't know, an opera singer or anything. I mean, she can't sing the way Mariah Carey sings or whatever, but she can sing really, really well. So I don't know. I thought it was somewhat of an idiot, a stupid thing to even, like, you know, have. I mean, this is what the news is about these days. I thought it was fucking stupid. But that's just me. Okay, so I'm going to take a quick break and get a drink, and I'll be right back, and we're going to talk about some more gay news that's happening around the country and around the world in general. And if you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, so we are back on Gay Mass. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. Excuse me, and I'm happy to take your phone call. So we've talked a little bit about the Super Bowl. We've talked upcoming Super Bowl today. We've talked a little bit about France approving the same-sex marriage bill. There's been some other things going on lately about the well, first of all, I wanted to say something about Lady Gaga. People are saying that Lady Gaga's fame is fading and her star is falling because her concerts have not been selling out and her records haven't been selling like they were, and she just isn't doing as well, and her tour didn't do as well as some others did. So I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I like Lady Gaga. I don't like her the way I like Madonna or anything, but I like her. I think she's got great talent. I think she's a great artist. I think she's a really good, you know, performer. But I don't know if I would say she's like fading necessarily just because she's not doing as well as she was. I think it's because she hasn't, it's been so long since she came out with a new album. She is coming out with a new album this summer, I think. It's called Art Pop, I think. And it's supposed to be very different than what she's been doing, which is good because her last album kind of sucked. But the first two she did were great, but the last album kind of sucked. So hopefully, you know, that'll help her continue to stay on top. But even if you don't, I mean, somebody asked her one time, they said, if you weren't a singer, what would you be? And she said, I'd still be a singer. I just wouldn't be as famous. And so I think that, you know, that's what's important is that people remember that, you know, people who are true artists, and true artists who make it, you know, it doesn't matter if they make it or they don't make it. They're still going to do what they do because, or whether they're famous or not famous, or whether they're the best, highest selling person or not. You know, people like Madonna, who are highly competitive people, and she had the highest grossing tour of this year, by the way, this last year, MDNA concert. So she did really amazing, of course, because she's always competing with everybody else, and she's always, like, desperate to stay on top, because she's, like, such the, like, epitome of an old woman who doesn't want to be old, and a woman who doesn't want to be irrelevant. She's desperate, and it's so obvious with her. You can smell it on Madonna. I mean, I hate to say that about her, but it's the truth. I mean, there was a point where I think about the age of when she turned 50 a few years ago, that she kind of started to smell the desperation in her, and she began to have surgeries and, or at least some sort of fillers and things like that in her face, and work out even harder than she ever did. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of sad in a way, but she is who she is. I mean, she's Madonna. She's going to do what she's going to do, but I think it's kind of sad. And then there is, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the show or it was actually a play and a musical and a movie, and it's called Grey Gardens. And Grey Gardens was about the Bouvier family, the Bouvier-Biel family. They were related to Jackie Kennedy Onassis. And they were her cousins or whatever. Anyway, and it was the mother and the daughter, and they lived in this house, this beautiful old kind of mansion in the East Hamptons in New York, in a very posh area where they lived, you know, their lives through. And with all these animals and raccoons and rabbits and things coming through the house, and they lived like in squalor, essentially. Anyway, so you can now go to that house and you can actually spend the summer there if you want, if you really want to stay there, which I don't know why anybody would considering the state it's in. But you can rent the entire state for $125,000. So if anybody's interested in staying in the old Grey Gardens mansion, you can stay there for $125,000 right now. So hopefully they're going to actually restore this place. I mean, it's really a shame that, you know, the kind of place it's in or kind of state it's in now. If you see pictures of it, it's like really sad. But it could be such a gorgeous place. But if I had $125,000 to spend, would I spend it to stay in some, you know, dilapidated mansion? Fuck no. I mean, come on. That doesn't make any fucking sense. So anyway, and then also we're talking about there's a study out that says that gay people shop more than straight people. Like, duh. I mean, who the fuck? Why would anybody even, like, question that straight people would shop less or something? everybody knows, I mean, everybody knows, but most people know that gay people have more money, more disposable income, generally speaking, than straight people do, because straight people typically have, not that gay people don't have kids and whatever, but straight people typically have kids and they have, you know, those kind of responsibilities that come with having children and spend all their money on their kids, whereas most homosexual men, especially, don't have children, and so they get to spend all that disposable income on, you know, shopping or whatever. And even gay men, there was a study I read 2 weeks ago, actually, that gay men in general make more money than straight men do. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well. I mean, as a whole, as an average, gay men make more money than straight men make, and I'm sure that would probably piss off a lot of straight, you know, men who are homophobic or whatever, but that's too fucking bad. But that's, I thought that was interesting as well. And they said it was because straight men don't have families most of the time. I mean, gay men, I mean, don't have to worry about families or having kids or going to carpool or picking up their children or whatever, and having to deal with all the stuff that straight people have to deal with children. So it's generally going back to kids again. So, I mean, I'm planning to have kids with my husband in a couple of years. We plan to have it when I'm 40, whether we have it through artificial insemination or we have it through surrogacy or we have it through adoption or whatever, we haven't decided yet, but we're planning to have it in 2 years. And so at that point, our lives will be very similar to heterosexuals' lives, where we actually go around and we actually have to spend a lot of our money on our kid and have to save money for their college and save money for their preschool, because I want them to go to like the best preschool and then the best, you know, the best private schools, and then the best prep schools, and then getting to the best colleges. So it's going to cost a lot of fucking money just for the college and education portion of my child. But I don't want them to have, you know, the other thing is, you know, it's really sad that you can't send your kid to public school anymore and expect them to get a good education. Because honestly, most kids today come out of public school pretty fucking stupid. Not all of them, obviously, but I mean, most of them don't know shit. They don't know who the presidents are. They don't know who, you know, they don't know anything about Vietnam or anything about, you know, World War II, things that you just basic stuff that you would know coming out of high school. I mean, I've talked to some kids, you know, in their early 20s and late teens, and they just don't know shit. All they care about is like what's going on reality TV, which is fine. I like reality TV. But I'm just saying that I also, not only do I know who Snooki is, not only do I know who the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and the Real Housewives of the OC and Atlanta and New Jersey and New York and all these people, not only am I a Bravo fanatic and a Bravo connoisseur, I know these people very well and all about their lives. I also know about things that are important, like the lives of people who've actually lived, you know, and made differences in this world. So to me, it's, you know, it's just sad when people don't take it upon themselves to have more balance in their what they know and what they learn. I mean, people kind of should just try a little harder, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's a generational thing. I know I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but that is who I am. I highly value education, and I highly value just knowledge in general and knowing about the world around you, because without knowing what became before you in your history, you know, as they say, you're doomed to repeat the same mistakes again and again and again and again. So anyway, hopefully that will change. But I do want – that's why I'm not sending my kid, when I do have my kid, to public school. Maybe elementary school possibly, but definitely when they get to middle school and high school, definitely private school. But maybe through elementary school, because we have a good elementary school in our neighborhood that's really exemplary or whatever. So that would be okay probably. But when it comes to, you know, private school, I think it's a better choice. The only thing I don't like about that is that if they go to private school, they're not going to have as much of a – going to be in as an integrated world as I would like them to be. I want them to be around people of all races and religions and all kinds of socioeconomic backgrounds, you know, financial backgrounds and things like that. I don't want them to be just around one type of a person, because I find it to be limiting in your experience. And so I think the more people you're around, the broader your mind is when you're growing up. And when you come out of all of that as an adult, you come out with as a more broad-minded individual, more liberal-minded, less conservative. And if you think about it, the difference between conservative and a liberal, right? Liberal is very open and broad-minded, and a conservative is very closed-minded. And that's what the word conservative means, to sort of conserve and to stay in one place and one thought. in one sort of domain. And liberal is the opposite of that, broad-minded and free-thinking. So that's why, and that's how I plan to have my child grow up, is through a very liberal upbringing. And I want them to make their own decisions. I want them to decide for themselves who they're going to be. I'm not going to tell them who they're going to be. I mean, if they want to play sports, fine. If they don't want to play sports, they want to play music, whatever, fine. Whatever they want to do, I will support whatever their interests are. It's just they have to have some kind of interest. So I'm going to make sure that they have some sort of athletic interest, or I'm going to force them to do two things. Have an artistic or an athletic interest. So they have to do one or the other, and everything else they want to do around, that's fine. So they either have to play like the violin, the piano, or the guitar or something, and do that seriously, or they have to be in sports seriously. Whatever their predisposition is towards, that's what I want to encourage for them. So that's how I'm going to raise my kid. Hopefully they will come out okay, because I know they will, because they'll have me as a father and my husband as a father. So I know they'll be fine. All right, so if you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. And I'll be right back.
Yeah. things that you do.
Okay, so we're back. The number is 323-843-6160. I'm actually having somebody work on me, a musician, work with me on a theme song for my show. He's given me two so far. He did one that I just didn't like at all. It sounded like a game show. And then he did this one I'm about to play for you recently. And I told him I wanted something kind of jazzy and sort of a little jazzy, a little edgy. And so this is what he's working on for my show. I haven't got any words to it yet, but this is what he came up with for me to represent my personality a little bit and also for the show. That's the last that he came up with, which I don't think that's it either. But I like it. It just doesn't seem right to me for my show. I think that I need something a little more upbeat than that. Something more, I don't know, something a little more upbeat, just grooving or whatever. I don't know what you think, but that's what I think. I don't think that's it though. But so we're still working on it. I'm trying to get him to do something that I like and kind of represents my personality. So I'm not always that like low key. I'm low key most of the time, but not like that. Anyway, so working on that. There was an article, or actually I saw it on TV. There was a thing where these two guys had these like these machines, and they're in like the Netherlands, and they put them on themselves, and it's so that guys can experience the pain of childbirth. And I saw that, and I was like, oh my God, these guys are in so much pain. It was like crazy. So why would anybody want to know what it feels like to have a kid? I mean, you know that it's like really painful, right? So why would you want to go through that? I have no interest in knowing what it's like to have a kid. Don't want to be a woman. I've talked about that many times on my show. I have no interest in being a woman. And the last part, the main reason for that is because I wouldn't want to have to have a kid. And childbirth is like the last thing I'd want to experience. So since I thank God that I'm a guy and don't have to experience any of that bullshit. So anyway, I was really surprised that guys actually went through that and decided they wanted to experience childbirth. No thanks, not interested. And then, James Franco, everybody knows him. He's the actor, was in, Planet of the Apes, and he's been in many, many, many movies. But he's doing this movie called Interior Leather Bar, which is sort of his film version of a movie in the 80s called Cruising, which was like scandalous in the 80s because it depicted a gay subculture and about sex and bars and things like that in the early 80s. Anyway, he's remaking that in his own way, and he's not even gay. I mean, he says he's not, but he makes a lot of gay movies and plays a lot of gay characters. But anyway, but he actually watched these guys having sex for his show, and actually, oh, hold on. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Decided to watch these guys having sex for his show. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So And he's just a straight guy who's watching these guys have sex with this movie. So I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to for me to understand why a straight guy would want to see two guys having sex, even if it's for his art or for his movie that's coming out soon or whatever. Just seems a little strange to me. I don't know. I think he's probably, I think maybe he's a closet or whatever, but I think he's probably gay. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe he's like just the most open-minded person, straight guy, I mean, that I've ever seen or something, because he is perfectly fine with watching gay guys have sex, and he's straight. So who the fuck knows? I think it's kind of weird. Anyway, the call-in number is 323-843-6160. If you want to have something to say to me, give me a call. I'll be right back. So we're back at the last hour of the show. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I today have to make my bread. I make bread every Sunday. It's my grandmother's recipe. My grandmother was 96 when she died. She died about 3 years ago. And she had this great sourdough recipe that I make every Sunday. So I have to stay up. Well, because it takes 12 hours to take the starter out of the refrigerator, and you leave it on the counter, you feed it, you leave it on the counter for 12 hours, and then 12 hours later you have to make the bread, and you have to put it in the oven off so it can like rise for 12 more hours, and then you cook it. So it's like a 24-hour event that I have to do every Sunday. So fortunately, I'm a very nocturnal person anyway, and a night owl, and definitely am not doesn't really affect me. Speaking of that, though, the whole nighttime thing, I want to talk a little bit about delayed sleep phase onset syndrome. Delayed sleep phase syndrome is what it's called. Sometimes it's called onset syndrome. But anyway, and explain what that is, because a lot of people don't understand it or probably have never even heard of it. And I think it's important for people to understand it because it can cause people a lot of heartache in their life. And I know because I suffer from it and always have for my entire life. And what it is it's not like insomnia. Insomnia is something where insomnia means you cannot sleep. So it doesn't matter how tired you are. If you have insomnia or you're a true insomniac, that means you literally cannot sleep. No matter how tired you are, if you lay down, if you're sleeping in bed, trying to sleep in bed, nothing will let you sleep naturally. So you have to constantly take things to sleep, no matter what it is. And sometimes that doesn't even work for insomniacs because their brain chemistry is different. So that's an insomniac. That's not what I am. DSPS, what that is more complicated. Well, not more complicated, just it's complex. It is where everybody has, you know, a sleep cycle, a natural sleep rhythm, circadian rhythms they're called. And so everybody has these. And most people's circadian rhythms follow the rise of the sun and the setting of the sun, just a natural thing because we're all, you know, humans. So that's what we have gone by for eons, the day and the night. And most people, the Neanderthals and people are cavemen or whatever, they went by the sun because during the day they could go out and search for food. At night they would sleep, and because it was dangerous, they couldn't see, so they stayed inside, so they slept. So that's how we came to have our natural rhythm of sleep cycles. Well, everybody's circadian rhythms are different. Some people naturally, if you're not using an alarm clock at all, okay, let's say you just allow yourself to wake up every day and go to sleep every day, and you don't have to work or anything. Let's just say you have nothing on your schedule ever, and all you have to do is just get up and go to bed whenever you want. A normal person's natural time clock is for them to usually go to sleep, sometimes begin to get sleepy or whatever, or get tired when they are, when the sun goes down. So let's say the sun goes down somewhere around 9 o'clock or whatever, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and so that people begin to get tired around that time. And a couple hours later, by midnight, the latest, typically most people are in bed. And then when people actually want to wake up, they actually get up probably around, 8 or 9 a.m. in the morning, whatever, or maybe 10 even, before they actually get up. So people naturally, if they have an alarm clock or anything, that's about the time that they go to sleep and get up every day. Well, people with DSPS, what happens to them is their natural cycle is usually the opposite. Like for me, it's completely the opposite. My natural biorhythms or whatever, time clock or circadian rhythms, is completely the opposite of most people's. Whereas most people might get up around 8, 9 o'clock, go to sleep around 10, 11, 12. I naturally, if I don't have an alarm clock, I don't have to get up for a meeting or something like that, I will go to sleep around 6 a.m. and wake up around 3 p.m. That is my natural cycle and has been that way since I was a very small child. I mean, it's always been like that. It's just a genetic, no, it's not genetic, well, maybe it is genetic, but it's more of a, it's just a pre-programmed thing since you're born. It's just like in you, in your brain chemistry. So for me, that's what happens. And so it's very difficult for people with DSPS because it's not that they don't want to get up. It's not that they don't want to actually get up and be part of normal society. It's that it's almost impossible. Now, if I have a meeting or something, fortunately, I am self-employed, so it doesn't affect me as it would someone who has to hold down a 9-to-5 job or whatever. That would be very difficult. And I tried to do that in my life in my early 20s and things like that when I had to work for the people. It was very, very difficult for me. It was very, very difficult for me in college, too. The first time I went to college, you know, when I was a teenager, 18 to 22, when I had early morning classes, and I tried not to schedule them early because I knew my issue, but I sometimes had to. I didn't have a choice because that was the only one available. And sometimes if I had like a 7 or 8 a.m. class, it was almost impossible for me to get out of bed. And that's something else people don't understand about it is even if you get enough sleep, like even if you get, let's say even if I go to sleep at 8, I get to sleep at like 10 p.m. and I wake up at, let's say I wake up at 6 a.m., okay? I've still gotten 8 hours of sleep, and that's about enough sleep for me. So that's good that I've got enough sleep that I can function. And I will function that whole day. I'll function or whatever. I'm fine, whatever, for the most part. But I feel the entire day like I have a hangover. It's like a sleep hangover, so to speak. Even though I got plenty of sleep that night, it's when I'm waking up and when I'm going to bed, it's still not in line with my natural biorhythms or my natural time clock. So as the week goes on, if I were to do that for an entire week, I begin to get more and more and more of a sleep deficit. Even though I'm getting enough sleep technically, I'm not getting the sleep at the time I'm supposed to be getting it. So my body is still completely out of whack, and my brain still knows that it's not normal for me to be up at that time of the day. So whereas most people will get up at 8 a.m. or whatever and go to work, go to work at a.m. and go home and go to bed at maybe 10, you know, and that's normal for them, and they get, as long as they get 8 hours sleep, they're fine. For me, I actually have to, if I'm doing that same exact schedule as they are, I ultimately will get a sleep deficit, and I have to sleep an entire day or two to feel good again. So it's very, very disruptive the way it works. It's not something that, you know, it's easy to explain to people. And so now the national government is making it, you know, there's a movement to try and finally get it recognized as an actual disability, because some people really cannot function. I mean, I'm fortunate, like I said, that I'm self-employed, so it doesn't affect me that way. But people who have to get up 8 a.m. or whatever, and like most people, and go to work at 8 a.m. and actually function with the rest of society and actually have the syndrome, it's incredibly, incredibly difficult. Over time, it builds up, it builds up, builds up to the point of exhaustion. So it's a very, very hard thing to endure and to explain. But that's why, for me, I'm always up so late and or early, whatever the case may be, and I'm always going to bed so early or late as the case may be. So for me, that's why I am the way I am. And there's millions of people who have DSPS. The people just don't know it, or they think that they're lazy, or they think that they don't want to get up at a certain time, whatever. Because the thing is, I still work. I do all of my work when everybody else is sleeping. I would all of my work, you know, late at night. And the good thing is, it's there's no distractions at that time of the day. There's no distractions. There's no one calling you on the phone. There's no one emailing you, whatever. And, you know, if I have a meeting or something, I do take a sleeping pill. And if I have a meeting earlier, then I would naturally get up. You know, like I have a meeting like at noon or at 10 a.m. or something, I take a sleeping pill like 2 to 3 hours ahead of time before I go to bed, because it takes that long for it to affect me, any kind of sleeping pill, unless it's like a hard narcotic or something, like, you know, like Valium or something. But I mean, you know, like a melatonin or a Unisom or something like that, it takes me 2 to 3 hours before it even affects me, whereas most people, it affects them in 15, 20 to 30 minutes. So I have to plan ahead any time I'm going to do anything early for that reason. But I can get up. So I get up and I function the entire day, and then I'm fine as long as I can go to bed. And that's the other thing. You still, even though you're tired from that time, so I get up at 10 o'clock and let's say I still had 8 hours sleep, the whole day I still feel like I have a hangover, right? The entire day. And I still, even though I'm tired, cannot go to sleep until the time I normally want to go to sleep, which is like 6 a.m. Because if I go to bed before that, I wake up really, really early, and I sleep for like 1 hour, 2 hours, and I wake up. So I still have to go to bed at the same time, even though I'm still tired. And so that's the thing. It doesn't matter what time you wake up or go to sleep is the point. Your body still wants you to sleep, go to sleep, and wake up at the same time every fucking day. And that is why it is such a hard thing to deal with. So anyway, I just wanted to educate people a little bit about that, and make people understand, you know, what it is to be, to have that or have this, and to sort of be, you know, different than the rest of the world. People don't really understand it. So if you know somebody who sleeps in and they're always really alive at night and really not during the day, and they're not a morning person, and they're always, they function really well when they're up at the normal time, but they function really badly in the mornings and stuff, then they probably have TSPS. And I mean, there's ways to test for it and to find out. You can do sleep studies. You can do light studies, which help you go to sleep at a certain time and kind of mimic the rise and the setting of the sun. I even have an alarm clock that does that, which doesn't really help much, but it can help, but not much. So if you really do sort of know someone like that, be sensitive to the fact that they may have this issue, and try to learn more about it if there's someone in your family or your child or your husband or your wife or something, because they may actually have it and you may not even realize it, and they may not even realize it. And I didn't even know it existed until I was, you know, older, in my 20s, when I started looking it up and really doing research about it, because it's not a very well-known syndrome. So if you know someone, be sensitive about it and try to understand it better so that you can actually help them instead of being an asshole about it. So, okay, I'll be right back.
What's up? It's Pickles. Leave a message.
Hey, I'm calling you back. Ooh, she's been a bitch tonight. And by bitch, I mean Miss Rain. No cab, nowhere. So I had to put on the wigs and the heels and the lashes and the ear and take the train to the club. And you know the MTA should stand for motherfuckers touching my ass.
money.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.